Weekdays, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Was that you making that weird sound?
That was me, sorry. It sounded like a fart, but it was actually me moving the microphone stand a thing. And it has a little bit of a fart.
That old line.
I can do it again. No, I'll do it now.
Now you see.
Bastard.
Just goes to show.
Never
just
happens.
Goes. That's your version of blaming the dog. Unbelievable. Microphone stand.
It was my
no yeah. such thing. You yeah. dirty article.
Remember that when you were young? Like that, people wonder why we've no manners. Do you remember like when you're young, you come, your dad just come in and go. Go. Oh, yeah. You fucking like that, didn't you? Walk out of the room. You're like, what in the name of God? You're like, oh, for Jesus' sake and all. And then you pick these things up, like, as you go. And then if you do, it's just like, why, you dirty article?
Yeah.
I'm watching the TV, you come in, you shit yourself in front of me. And, like, people wonder why you grow up with no manners. So why you grow up with a weird sense of what is mannerly or not, you know?
Yeah.
It's why Irish people are very paranoid of people's sense and sensibilities, I think, you know. Like, you know the way, we'll go to something. Jim is an awful whore for Jays. Like Jim goes to Bewley's or something. He has a famous story going into Bewley's and standing there.
No,
like,
not going in.
Oh, you're not going in at all. I thought yeah. you got in. She said, "What do you want?" And you went,
"No."
And you
no.
ran away.
No. I was afraid to go in.
Yeah.
I was considerably younger at the time.
Yeah, what you were. Yeah.
But I was afraid to go in because I had this, because it was Bewley's. Now, I have to just point out, it was Bewley's in Grafton Street, right?
A fancy Bewley's.
Okay. I don't know how many more other Bewley's there were.
And also,
at the
remember,
time.
They were still locking up Irish people for treason back then.
But it was the fancy one, and it, you know, on Grafton Street. And I was working off Grafton Street or whatever, and I wouldn't go into Bewley's because, I just thought I wouldn't know what to do. I thought it'd be like, you know, if you went somewhere and. You were supposed to know the etiquette.
Yeah.
I didn't realise Bewley's was a proper down-to-earth Dublin institution kind of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just whatever. I mean, they, at the time, they were wearing blooming, you know, those
French
black and white
maids
and French
all.
Maids uniforms.
I know, it was like an old Bluey from the 80s.
Like, I thought I wouldn't even have enough money to be allowed in. Or, you know, I thought they'd look at me in my jeans and think,
yeah.
Well, you're certainly not welcome here.
Excuse me, who do you think you are?
So, yeah, famously, I wouldn't go into Bewley's because I thought it was too posh for
Jim
me. Me being from Finglas, you know.
And going, can you believe Mr. Jimmy Finglas tried to come in here today? And they were like, the Jimmy Finglas, the man who's used to fart in front of his children, that Jimmy Finglas. You know, all that sort of, but I think it's because of a lot of that. We get growing up in Ireland, there's a crossover of etiquette. You know?
Right.
There's what you do with people you know and your family and what you think is normal there. And then, you know, how you're expected to behave in front of people you don't know. There's no consistency in Ireland, you know?
Yeah.
Like that, you can literally, I remember walking, my elderly used to gradually, used to open his trousers and drop his trousers down to his knees. And standing there watching his heli. Right?
Yeah.
And he'd fix his short and all.
Yeah.
And then pull his cacks up and you'd be like, you wouldn't even notice, you know.
Yeah.
Until then you'd be thinking, oh, you'd be there with someone, yeah, come up to my house and all. You'd be coming, you'd be thinking, if I walk in here now, my elbow's got his trousers around his ankles and he's fixing his short. I'd be fucking mortified.
I know,
and it's only
yeah.
then you realise this is a
yeah.
thing, you know.
It's when you start realising, as you say, that other people don't. You know, it's those things,
yeah.
it probably starts in school. Where you get
yeah.
a little bit of that, where it's kind of like, what do you mean? Does your dad not drop his trousers in front of the telly?
And they go,
no.
Drop his trousers. He can be arrested
and then
for that. The, you know,
exactly.
He's fixing his shorts.
And then they go home and tell their parents.
They go,
no, PJ Geller's dad takes his trousers down in the living room
the
every
living
day.
In the living room every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, fixes himself. And I then, never said fixes himself. I said fixes his shorts.
And then the rumour goes around the, you know, around the community.
Yeah, and they're all like, they're all in that. That's the thing, it becomes everyone.
Yeah.
They're all in that house wearing no trousers, the whole lot of them. Walk around with all of it, everything hanging out.
Yeah. Does you never eat your dinner out of a bag? No, no.
No, never.
I thought everybody did that.
Yeah, and they're like, you know, they don't have plates or nothing. Scoff out of a bag, them and the dog and everything, they all share it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, so you always wonder then what you're supposed to do when you're growing up
yeah.
in other people's houses. It's like when we all had one uncle. Or an auntie, or no, it was always an uncle actually, you know, who came around to the house and he'd no kids. So he spoke, whether there was kids there or not, like the way he'd speak to your dad in the pub.
Right.
You know. So you'd be always, so he'd come around and you know, you weren't allowed course or anything in the house. Your
yeah.
parents coursed all the time, but you were never allowed to do it, you know, because your mad say, I don't want fucking coursing in my house or whatever. And you'd have that one uncle and he'd turn up and he'd be there going, Oh, how are you, Sean? To be able to, you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. I was out watching that fucking match the other day. Jeez, that's some shower of bastards, I tell you. I could have sworn when I saw that bollocks, I was like, I'll fucking hit you. Give you a head butt in the head. And you'd be like sitting there going, swallowing your bottom lip, going, oh my God, the language.
Yeah.
And your man, dad, wouldn't be able to say to him,
yeah,
shut
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. None of that here or
none
whatever.
Of that. We don't
because
do
he turned
language.
Around and he said to him, what are you fucking
you
know, talking
what
about?
What are you talking about? Yeah. You called me a fucking, you called me a three sides of a bollocks there yesterday. You know, and you know that type of thing.
Yeah.
We all had one of those. I think we all had one of those. Or a visitor or a neighbour or something.
Yeah.
It confuses you even more, doesn't it?
Yeah, because you're... And the other thing as well is, generally, like, all of those stages in life where you go through where, you know, where you had to learn something, right? As in, but I'm not just talking about, like, as in tying your shoelaces or, you know what I mean, whatever. You know, when you're... But we are on your own. Like, I remember the first time I went to a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, I do as well. I told you, I drank the finger bowl.
Well, that makes me feel so much better, man, yeah. Right? Because I genuinely...
Slice of lemon in it.
...didn't know what... you know what I mean? I'm thinking to myself, how... Like, you know, for example, those... what do you call those things? The rolls they do, the duck.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're called, but I know...
Pancake things, whatever.
Yeah, duck pancake things. Yeah.
Shredded duck and, you know, all that. And, of course...
Didn't know what to
do. I didn't know. I mean, you know, what the hell...
I can only imagine
how do you put it together?
You be rolling the pancakes and trying to light them and smoke them at the table.
So and all you do is you try and make it as casual as possible as you watch somebody else.
Someone else do it. That's the key, isn't it? Yeah. You're watching someone else to do it, yeah.
And it's like that story I told you, and it's I won't name any names, right? Because he's quite a well known person.
I know exactly what the story is.
With the prawns. Do you remember that?
I know, yeah.
Yeah. And I can kind of relate
famous
to that.
Guy.
Thankfully,
a guy who was on TV a lot of times.
Absolutely.
The time. Yeah.
And he got prawns to the table and you know, obviously it must have been quite a nice restaurant or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were, you know, in their shells or whatever you're meant to, you know, and I'm sure all the accoutrements were there to take them out and do what you
and
need
claws
to do.
And all were still
everything.
On them.
But this guy obviously hadn't necessarily encountered that before, so just chomped down shells and all.
Yeah.
Yeah, until somebody came along and said, would you like us to
break down for
to
you?
To de-shell those for you, sir, or whatever. Yeah. So it can happen.
I knew. My brother was working in a restaurant years ago, and the same thing. Someone came in and he said, prawns, whatever, crustaceans, whatever, you know. And they came. And like that first of all, he said he knew they weren't used to being in restaurants. In fairness to them.
Yeah.
Because he says, bottle of red and a bottle of wee. He says... You know, so he kind of knew they weren't used to being in the restaurants.
Yeah.
And then he did that and he sat there and he gave him the plate with the prawns and the whole. He says before he gave it to him, he knew.
Yeah.
Because he saw your man's face and going, real silence.
That's
there's
looking back
food.
At me.
And he's there, right. And he came back and everything was gone. Everything.
Everything. A shell, not an eye.
The claws, the eyes, the heads, the whole. And he picked up the plate and he said he looked around the table and then went, was everything okay for you, sir? And he goes, absolutely delicious. Absolutely delicious.
Because you wouldn't let the side down.
You wouldn't let the side down.
Yeah.
Said, imagine.
Oh, my God.
He must have... His stomach... How do you... Like... He must have, like, had to drink another bottle of red and white to get the whole thing down. You know, and that's because, let's face it, he was afraid. He was afraid to say,
and we're all guilty of that as well, though. We're all guilty of assuming everybody else knows...
What's going on.
...something or whatever.
Yeah.
And then until you're in that situation yourself and you suddenly realise, oh, jeez, I don't know what you're supposed to do here. I mean, mind you, I still have it today. There's times I meet the lads for lunch, my young lads or whatever, and, you know, you'd be going into whatever, like just a takeaway place or a whatever. But it's because now you have, like, burrito bowls and you've got fucking, I don't know, whatever. You've got new, whatever, sushi things or whatever. Half the time, I still do it.
Yeah.
I'll go, no, you go ahead. I'm still thinking of what I'm ordering.
And you're just going, I think the same as him, actually. That sounds great. That sounds lovely. I'll have the same as him.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just looking to see, right, okay, how does this work?
Oh, that's great. Oh, I was actually going to get the chicken and like coming to
good choice, actually. Good choice.
Yeah.
I'll have one of them.
Yeah, I was going to go different, but I decided yours isn't good.
You've nailed it there, yeah.
Same as him, yeah. You want a salmon cutlet? Yes. Salmon cutlet.
Yeah, but you hate fish, Dad.
Yeah.
No, in this instance, I think it'd be all right.
I don't mind these fish. These fish are intelligent. I like these fish. Yeah. You know what I told you that I drank the finger bowl in the restaurant? I was with Jason Bourne at the time. It was the first time I was ever in a proper Chinese restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
Not like a Chinese where you just sit down, chicken, fried rice, whatever.
Yeah, because people forget that now. Like, when we were kids.
Yeah.
Don't forget, we were kids at a time when literally the first sort of like... Chinese takeaways were coming into Ireland. You know, the idea of getting curry That was new when we were kids.
It was, honestly, yeah. And it was like, you know, it was very sort of, you know, but I know it's taken so much for granted now, but just Cordy.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus, excuse me, Lord Montague. You know, there's a bit of that to it. And we went in, and it was in Clontarf. It was Wong's at the time. We went in, and Jason Burke, because he's a bollocks, he saw me drink the finger bowl with, there was a slice of lemon in it. And then he goes, do you want mine? I went, okay, yeah. And I drank his, and he goes, yeah, did you enjoy that, you fucking idiot? That's for cleaning your fingers. And I remember being absolutely mortified. Yeah. I wouldn't be mortified by stuff like that anymore. I don't care anymore. But I remember being really like, oh my God. I thought I'd be
You assume everybody's looking at you. And,
yeah. I thought your man would come over and say, you have to go.
Yeah.
You know, so,
you don't know how to behave yourself.
You don't know how to behave yourself. You may as well be sitting there fixing your shorts with your trousers around your knees.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, it is mad to think that, isn't it? That those kind of things. I mean, like, there's obviously the equivalent now. I mean, I'd probably struggle in. I'm sure there's some sort of newfangled fucking thing going on at the moment that, you know, if you were landed into it.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually, Simmer? You remember that thing? I'm trying to think where you'd see them anymore, but you know the thing, those places where the stuff goes around on the conveyor belt and sushi places where you just take off your, you know, whatever you want.
I like them.
Like, yeah. But I mean, by the same token, if you encountered that for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like,
what do you do?
What is it? Like, are you only allowed a certain color? What do I pay for? How many do I get?
Yeah, how many are you allowed? Is it a 3-for-1? What happens if I take up a plate and it's a.
I don't like it.
Yeah. How do I know that's not what he asked for over there? You'd be freaking out. My favourite stuff now that young folks are doing, and I actually am really into it, is you go to some of these hipster cafes.
Yeah.
And they literally have it spelled out for fucking idiots like me. So it'll go, step one, pick a meat.
That's brilliant.
Right. Yeah. And there's a list of the meats. Step two, pick sandwich, bowl, wrap. You know, and step three, pick your sauce.
That's the way it should be.
Step four, how would you like it cut? Step five, fuck off.
Eat it.
I love that.
Sit down, pay for it and get in.
Oh, it's so relieving, isn't it? Because you there's no wrong answer.
In fairness, it does harken back to arguably one of my favourites of your stories of that the man who went in to the hipster place that was close to the courts.
Yeah, he went in. It was right beside the hospital.
Oh, the hospital,
wasn't
it?
Right beside the hospital, yeah. Right. He went in. A real hipstery place, you know, like they did four types of chicken, you know, that type of, you know.
Wow,
like, yeah. And he's there going, looks at the menu, looks straight at the man, goes, set up the sandwich, yeah? And just walked off and sat down.
Soup and a sandwich.
And they were like, you could see them. Yeah. You could see the two lads with the top knots and the fucking hemp jumpers going, I don't even know what I'm supposed to give him now. He didn't even say what type of bread. You know,
that's it. Because they'll have four different types of sourdough, a number of granaries, a couple of different browns, or whatever. And he just came and asked for a sandwich.
Sit with a sandwich. Yeah. And sat down. And just looked out the window. No phone, no newspaper.
Yeah.
And they, like, your man came back around the counter and goes, sorry, you just wanted a soup and a sandwich. Sit with a sandwich, yeah. Chicken.
Didn't even say what on the sandwich.
Oh, no, I didn't give
not a,
a
ham sandwich, a chicken sandwich, not a
fuck,
salad,
yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. Is there anyone, would you like chicken? Would you like
so your man was panicking.
And your man
was
literally panicking. He didn't know what to tell. He was sent around. Go find out what he wants. He just has soup and a sandwich. The two lads, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this information.
Oh man.
And he came back around. Do you want something to drink? Cup of tea.
Is that we do eight types of tea.
Forget the meltdown. And there was no one there, only me and him. There was no one there. You know, just the meltdown of the whole soup and sandwich. We got coronation chicken. I'm making shit up now. We got Glastonbury chicken. We got Kevin's super special chicken.
Yeah.
You know, we got ciabatta bread.
Have you ever been embarrassed to know any of those situations? Have you ever done sort of something, apart from the finger bowl drinking?
I have sometimes. Normally it's because I'm so deaf though.
Right.
So I go, I think I know what I want, right?
Yeah.
And I'll be reasonably confident. I will have prepared my thing in my head. You know?
Yeah.
I'll be reasonably, and I go in and say, just the, whatever, the stupid names they have. The Bertie bowl with the halouma cheese and the peanut jofer.
Right.
And they'd be like, and do you want peanut jofer and ham? I'm like, pardon? Do you want peanut jofer ham? I'd be like, Sorry. I'm not getting that there.
Yeah.
What most people would do with the couscous rice. Couscous rice, right. I'm so sorry you started this.
Because that is the difference between you and I.
Couscous rice then. Couscous rice with the chicken. Is that not normal, no? Couscous with the chicken, yeah. And then I'll be like, and then I have some, you know,
creation that nobody else has ever eaten. Go,
and they know, they're like, this man has no idea what he's asking for. And we don't know what to give him. And he can't hear the, you know, that happens.
But that's the difference between you and I. You see, you will put yourself in. You, as we always say, you like to go in two-footed. So what's the worst that can happen?
Yes,
you go
that's
in
true,
and then you end up. Whereas I would just literally, I'd get a rough glance as to what sort of, and I go, well, that's not for me. I won't understand. I'll make a tit of myself.
That is true.
So I'll
yeah.
stay outside.
That is true.
I'll go and buy a sausage roll from a spar. That, you know what I mean? It's about my level.
That is true. If we were on holidays, for example, we went to Spain, I'd walk in and I'd go, one of them, please. I wouldn't know what was in it. Just one of them. And you're like, this one? Yeah, that. Just one, two then. Two. Just two. Fucking four then. And I just, whatever, I don't know what it is. It's an octopus burger, grand. I'd eat it, I don't give a fuck. Whereas, Jim will walk in and go, right, oh Jesus, ooh, fuck hell, I need some air.
There's more than one thing you can order, isn't there?
I'll eat when I get home. I'll be like, Jim, we're here for 3 weeks, it doesn't matter. I'll survive.
That's true.
I'll survive.
Although the one thing we do
I'll
have...
I'll find a spar, I'll just eat chocolate bars. Be grand.
The one thing I do have in common with you is I would end up doing that. If I went in, attempted to order, whatever, no matter what they gave me, I'd be like, you did say the...
that's it, yeah.
Chicken's hole with the... whatever.
Chicken's hole and octopus eye sandwich.
You did say that, didn't you? And I'd yes.
I did,
yeah. I did. It's usual comedy. That's fine. How much? 27 quid. No problem. Right, so there you go. Take a tip as well. Another 27.
Make a 30. Chicken's hole.
Yeah. Let's cause a fuss. Don't draw attention to anybody.
He'd literally be serving it to you. And remember, don't stand next to anyone because of the smell off your breath for the next 3 days. He'd be like, no problem. No problem. I'll eat it.
Yeah. I'll go into isolation now as soon as I go home.
Oh, fuck. There you go. Are you allergic to chicken's hole? This kills 7 out of 10 people that eat it. It's fine. I'll have a go. I'll have a go.
Right, time for us to get out of here, but we'll leave you in the capable hands of some of the best bits from during the week on the show. You can have a listen and have a fantastic week.
Have a great week, everybody. Get all the chickens whole you can, and we will talk to you Monday morning.
Be brave. Get out there. Broaden your horizons. Or don't, like
or
actually
me. Just don't. It's what we've learned, actually, is it's just not worth it.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Kevin Bacon's birthday today, right?
Today is his birthday.
And he's 66, right? So it's not like a milestone birthday or anything.
No, I was surprised to hear he was 66. He always just seems perpetually young, that man.
Yeah. And there's a story about him in the paper this morning. So I don't know if it's tied in necessarily with the fact that it's his birthday. As I say, it's not a significant birthday, but nonetheless. And it does give us this story another opportunity to gain insight from the great PJ Gallagher. Because to be able to provide a genuine celebrity insight on this. This is a very celebrity related story, right? Because Kevin Bacon says that he often wondered what it would be like if he hadn't become famous. You know, what his life would be like if, you know, and what it would be like to interact in a day if he wasn't instantly recognised.
Because he's been famous since he was a young guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's been famous a long, long time.
Since he was a kid.
So he actually took it to the point where, this appears in Vanity Fair, this article, right? He took it to the point where he went to a makeup artist and he got the works done. He got the prosthetics and, you know.
Oh, a full fake head.
Full
then.
Disguising himself. Yeah. Right? And set out into a day. And this article in Vanity Fair, and the article is titled, Kevin Bacon Spent a Day as a Regular Person. Which has to be the worst titled article ever.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon living life as a human for a day.
It's a pretty rubbish title for that. But anyway, so he did it. And in the article, right, he said, his quote was, life sucks. He hated it.
What a surprise.
He hated the fact that nobody recognised him, so therefore nobody said, I love you, Kevin. right?
Imagine having to put up with walking down the road without a stranger saying how brilliant you are. Well, honest to God.
This is where, I mean, I'm going to come to you in a minute now for, you know, for some genuine insight into what a celebrity feels. But, and also he said, his quote is that, I had to stand and queue for an effing coffee.
That's, he was outraged because he wasn't allowed to skip the queue.
He got no perks whatsoever.
He just had to be a regular old runt.
That's what it is.
Standing there in the queue like as if...
Waiting his turn. Nobody telling him they love him or paying him compliments.
My God, like he's queuing for porridge in the orphanage. The poor man, how did he put up with it? What a life.
So, I mean, I just, like, have you ever contemplated what it'd be like if you hadn't become, like, so famous
and
such a celebrity
mind?
And well-known and instantly recognisable? I'm just curious, and all the perks you get, like, would you have you ever kind of considered what life might have been like?
Do you realise how off the mark you are with this? Do you?
No.
I was queuing for a bus the other day and the rain came down. And someone shouted, you're not whistling now, you tick. You know, it's a very different thing, isn't it?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, so not sort of, I love you,
PJ,
Kevin.
Yeah, I heard that a few times.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But it's done with affection, man. Yeah.
How
it's
does
done
that Jim McKay put up with you, you halfwit? Had that?
Yeah, but that's me shouting that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's the same thing at all.
Right, so you're saying you don't reap the benefits.
Are you joking? In fact, here's one for you. On Sunday, I went up for an early breakfast. I have to have early breakfast now because children don't let you sleep past 3 o'clock in the morning, right?
Yeah.
I went off to a place.
Hard finding a breakfast place open at 3:30 in the morning.
It really is. I'm telling you now, it really is, right? I went for a breakfast place in place around in Dublin 7 there. I found a place, right? And I went over and the fella who owns the place... Right?
So yeah.
Would you come over here and do a picture? We're doing an event, whatever. He said, mate, so take a picture for the event. And I still had to go to the queue and buy me own coffee. He owns it.
You didn't even get a free coffee over.
I had to do him a favour. He posted it on his Instagram page and everything else.
Wow.
And I still had to buy me own coffee.
So
and
not all celebrities have quite the effect that Kevin Bacon has then. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Are you joking? And then I'm getting back in to my own car and there's people going, oh, yeah. Not the race, son. It's some life you have. Not, I got nothing. Nothing. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't think it's like what like now. It's apples and oranges there, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Mind you, in fairness, I suppose, you know, you did live life sort of as a what? As a normal person. You know, because...
I am a normal person. I'm
like
literally a normal person.
With Jake and the Dirty Elwin and everything. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you know...
Like, what then?
You got to experience what normal life was like. While still being a celebrity.
You see, now what you've done is you've insulted everybody in Dublin. Because now people who are from Dublin will think, oh my God, those are impressions of normal Dublin people. As if everyone in the city centre is now walking around going, how's it going? Give us a... without, and someone else is going, no problem, come on, right? You know, and every little Elwood's walking around Dublin now going, I swear to God.
And so you're trying to say you get none of the perks of celebrityhood or celebrity dom.
There's definitely some. I mean, what is there, though? I mean, apart from being insulted on a regular basis. on a very, very regular basis. An extraordinarily
regular
basis.
Yeah, but insulted with affection, though.
Insulted with affection, I will say. You're right, though. You're right. Yeah. And wait, you see, now, after we've done this today, right, I've a lot of running around to do today, right? And I guarantee now, after a York carry-on, everywhere I go today, people are just going to be going, you'll get nothing free in here, you little scabby git, you. Get out of there. If Jim McKay was here, we'd give him something for free. You're getting nothing, you nitwit.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
I'll tell you something. Well, when it comes, I mean, you might think, you know, obviously it's a, you know, What would you call it? A superstition or an old wives' tale or whatever you want to call it. The idea that you'd put out a statue in order to try and keep the rain away. But I tell you something, there are institutions in this land who, you know, involve
what?
the big person, whatever it is in the sky.
The big person in the sky.
In their decisions. For example, in the great county of Cork.
You wouldn't want Jim doing a speech at your funeral, would you? I hope there now that the big man, the big fella there now in the sky is, you know.
Well, it's very, you know, you have to kind of encompass everybody.
Yeah,
you know, you have
this
to, whatever your particular kind of, you know, as Dave Allen used to say, may your God go with you.
Well, there you go. And you've actually hit on a point there because Cork County Council, one of the Social Democrats, councillors down there, has brought forward a motion to sort of scrap all the prayers. Who knew this, by the way? That when the council meets in the chamber, they do prayers before they get to business.
Right.
And he wants to scrap all that. He goes, look, people of all different faiths and denominations have elected us here. Prayers are not important. Can we just drop the prayers, take the crucifix off the wall and get down to business? Is what he's saying. You know, this is the whole thing that he's saying. Pádraig Rice is his name. And so there's going to be a motion about that. But honestly, I think it comes as probably a shock to most of us that still happens.
That they still go in and say their prayers.
That elected officials still meet together and they say their prayers together. They say their prayers together in the council.
That must be slightly unusual, isn't it?
I suppose it's like... Although
I suppose it's like mass.
But it's city council as well. What prayers do you say in city council? Lord rest us and save us, please. Maybe get the speed bumps done and maybe please somehow get the traffic lights at Carton Cross fixed before the end of the day. And the pothole that's been there for 2 weeks now outside Mary Jessup's house, if we could please pray that is somehow filled in without us having to do anything.
That would be a great
achievement. Thank
you.
It must
be great if you're in Cork and you say to your local councillor, listen, any word on my planning application? Well, if it's God's will.
I've been praying for that. I mean, what more can I do?
Yeah.
I've been
on my knees.
Yeah, I was on my knees with the local Fine Gael people and we were praying.
In fact, we actually got together and did a decade of the rosary.
Yeah. Now, we asked God, we said, please, can he not just get his extension permission? What more can we do?
It's an unusual thing, yeah.
Cork County
Council. I suppose, didn't a lot of those places kind of believe that they had their, well, hardly Cork County Council now. You know, the way that, you know, as though they were invested, their power was invested in them by God.
By God? That's God. So the Lord Mayor of Cork is now sort of like a miniature pope.
That's it.
Yeah, he's there walking around healing people.
Wants to be referred to as Il Papa.
Yeah, he's going to walk down to the hospital. How you walk? Get up out of that chair and walk.
Do you know how much it's costing us to keep you in that bed?
What's going to do? It'll get rid of the hospital costs. I'm going to make them blind see and everything. No problem.
There might be people there a little bit superstitious about giving up the prayers.
I know a lot of Cork people think they can walk on water anyway. but the idea that they're walking around healing people or they can make things happen just by thinking about it and praying about it, I think is a little bit much. So probably in this case, the counsellor has it right.
I'd say that's in their prayers as well. When they start, I'd say they start their prayers with, God, Cork here, your favourite.
Oh, yeah.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
You know the way we were talking about the Welsh accent being the most relaxing?
That's what they say, the most...
Seemingly not your version of it. We just had a text in from Nathan to say, lads, I'm Welsh, and that accent was nothing short of a hate crime.
Excuse me.
I think specifically it might have been your Tom Jones.
I do actually. It's Tom Jones. What's new, pussycat?
Somebody did point out that Nigel Owens, the rugby referee, you know, a famous
Nigel
Welshman.
Owens.
So, you know the way you know you love your rugby jargon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're a rugby.
You know, add a bit of Welsh to that.
Rugby's very hard game to understand, even without Welsh. You know, the referee blows the whistle. Let's see the leg too long. Pushing. That's it. Ball back down. Funny haircut. Kick off. Let's go. Everybody behave yourselves, boys.
You know, are you having an episode? Wow.
That's the way Welsh people sound, isn't it?
Oh, God. I got a fright there. That was so bad.
What's new, pussycat?
Anyway, forget your Welsh. How's your Danish?
I don't know how to do it. I could do generic Scandinavian.
It's just generic Scandinavian?
Yeah.
That's a language, is it? What do you speak? I speak generic Scandinavian, thank you.
I speak generic Scandinavian, yeah.
The reason it might come in handy is that if you're planning, if you're planning your holidays, or you want a little city break, right?
Oh, yeah, here's the one for
you. Here's a little incentive to go to Copenhagen. Yeah, what's Copenhagen famous for? Is that that's not the wing in the dyke, lad? No,
it is the little mermaid statue.
Right,
it's the one in Copenhagen. That's the one that people
Hans Christian Andersen and all that.
That's the one.
Right,
and Copenhagen. Haven't been there with Jim. Lovely and clean and brilliant and not a lot to see, but it's great. A really nice place.
Expensive.
God almighty, is it expensive.
Yeah.
And that's something saying from two lads from Dublin, you know.
Yeah.
We, as if we can talk anymore. But it's a lovely spot. But now there's another incentive. So if you're a tourist going to Copenhagen and you pick up litter, right? Or make litter of your own. But if you pick up litter, there's these participating places now that you bring your litter into them, throw it in the bin, and you get sort of tokens for it. And if you build up enough tokens as a tourist now, you can you cash them in some places. So you might get a sandwich or a shot of a canoe. Or
a shot of a canoe.
Yeah, you might get...
That's quite the incentive.
Yeah, that's what they say, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, they say like a canoe, free canoe rental, but a shot of a canoe. You get a shot of a canoe, a sandwich, some places will give you a coffee, whatever it is.
For bringing your rubbish in.
Yeah,
it's for... But you have to be a tourist. If you're a native...
No,
Copenhagen
resident. They don't create waste.
So you can't just stop putting your rubbish in your own bin and bring it to somewhere else to try and get a shot of a canoe.
You
have to be a tourist.
I'd like a shot of a canoe. You can't do that.
So you pick it up off the street.
So you pick it up the street, or you bring your own rubbish in. Because tourists cause more waste over there than the people who are from there.
Right.
So if you bring in, and now you'd need a load. Like, you don't just get a free sandwich for like a...
Do they give a guideline?
A packet of crisps.
That's what I was going to say. Do they give a guideline? Like, do you have to have...
Doesn't, no.
You
I'd
know.
Say you'd need a good bit, though. You know, you need to be there. Imagine saying that to your mates. Where are you going for your holidays? Oh, you're Spain? No way. Fair play to you. Tarmel is free. That's fantastic. Yeah, no, I'm doing 2 weeks up in the Algarve. And where are you going? I do this thing where I go to Copenhagen for a week and I pick up rubbish and... I got a free meatball sandwich last year. Unbelievable. All it took was 300 cans, 225 crisp wrappers and a
thing I fished out of the river.
A bit of tin foil that I fished out of the river. Yeah, that's it. I got free sandwich. Meatballs.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Reindeer meatballs I got.
It was incredible.
It was the best,
now, I have to say,
best holiday I've ever had.
The smell off me while I was eating it was a bit ropey, but apart from that...
The locals were looking at me there. They said, do you know how hard it is to find rubbish over there as well? It's hard work.
That's... Yeah. I mean, I get the... You know, I assume the idea is don't throw it in the first place.
Yes.
So, you know...
Keep your waste.
Dispose of it responsibly, which is a good idea.
Yeah, when you go to one of these places, you throw your waste in there, you get a token.
It's just the idea that there'll be a load of these people wandering around the streets of Copenhagen, like that craze when they were trying to catch Pokemon, trying to pick up, you know, fighting each other for litter.
I know,
Just so they could get a shot of a canoe.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Yeah. How much is it for a go of a canoe? Maybe they're going, €20. What if I give you €10? I know, a Mars bar wrapper, my ex-boarding card, some tin foil from my sandwich, and a straw I didn't use out of the McDonald's.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
They don't make them like
they used to.
In any sort of a way. Proof of such a thing, the Roscommon Herald today has a headline that a woman... has a 50-year-old fridge in our house and it's working perfectly.
You see?
That's a story in the Roscommon Herald.
Didn't get suckered in by these big American fridges. Or,
no.
You know, didn't want a fridge that had Wi-Fi or a fridge that tells you when you're running out of milk.
No, none of all that.
She bought it in the
absolute
70s
crap.
Or something. And
yeah, I'll tell you exactly when she bought it. She bought it from Michael Gunning's electrical shop in Castlereagh in 1974. It's a Frigidaire RM1... 400L, and it has never stopped working for over 5 decades now. Four or 5 decades.
My God, it's the Nokia of fridges, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That's exactly what it is. Alice Feeney is her name, from Ballybeg and Tulk. She says, there's been a bit of wear and tear. Yeah, if you want to be panickety about it. Yeah, there's been plastic parts and a slightly chafed powder cord. There's been no other issues. And the fridge continues to be used to store not just food, but also beverages. Every day.
Beverages?
Yes, beverages. Yeah. She says, I do have to...
Well, she's trying to use that as a selling point. You don't just have to put food in it, you know.
No.
It can take beverages.
Beverages as well.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there snooting about just what it takes, it can make anything cold.
Yeah.
It can. You can put the remote control in it, it would make it cold. Makes everything cold. And Alice says she defrosts the fridge every fortnight. Every fortnight, yeah. Says you got to look after these things. And she says, in an age now where things are built to obsolescence, I think that is.
Obsolescence, yeah.
Obsolescence, that's what it says, yeah. Obsolescence, yeah. She says, this vintage refrigerator is worth a mention and probably should be in the Guinness Book of Records.
You see? There you go. You shouldn't just always just go for the modern, for the new.
No, not
at all. For the fancy schmancy, you know, all bells and whistles thing.
Sometimes older is better. Look at Jim McCabe, for instance. He's much better at this than I am. And he's been around for decades.
How did I get a kicking out of a story about a fridge?
You're being good.
Unbelievable.
Jim McCabe is the Frigidaire 1400L of the radio business. Yes, he needs a bit of a defrosting every couple of weeks, but he never lets you down.
That's quite true.
He can do it all. He can do anything. He can make anything cold. He can make everybody feel whatever way he wants them to feel. Me, on the other hand, I'm a bit more modern, a bit more temperamental, a bit less reliable. Don't last as long.
See, that's the difference. That's the difference. The other thing is, your woman's fridge, right?
Yeah.
I assume by modern standards, that's probably breaking every kind of energy code.
I say so, yeah.
And CFC emissions thing or whatever.
I'd say when she plugs it in Ballybeg and Tulsk, that the whole of Balladreen goes dark.
Yeah, energy consumption is probably off the charts.
I'd say so,
and defrosting every 2 weeks, that's not normal, is it?
I thought
you only defrosted
bit.
Fridges when literally you couldn't get anything more in.
Yeah,
because
when you can't
frost
when the pizza comes out and it's still soft. You go, okay, I better defrost this.
I'm going to have a go with that. Get the hairdryer.
Get the hairdryer now, for God's sake. I have to go through this rigmarole again. It seems a bit excessive. But maybe
I assume she's
got 50 years.
A hero of yours, is she?
Yeah, well,
you know, for a man who, let's face it, has prided himself numerous times on your ability to make everything last.
Well, yeah.
Specifically in your case, things like your underwear and your socks and general clothing and stuff. You know what I mean? To make that last 50 years.
I think...
50 years would be pushing it, though, yeah.
Even for me.
I assume you don't still have your 9-year-old pants.
No, I don't have them. I do. I might still have them. I will say my underpants I keep forever aren't a fire hazard. So, like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
So, you know,
I'd say they were made from some weird concoction back in the day.
Maybe they were. But
some mad nylon, instantly flammable creation.
Good point, well made. You wouldn't stand next to a superstar wearing my pants. But the likelihood of walking down the road and suddenly bursting into flames is probably a lot less than it is from her fridge. Because fridges are dangerous.
That's true.
You know, her fridge bursting into flames overnight because it's been there for 50 blooming years with a dusty old cord, you know?
Yeah.
So I'd say that, I'm on the better side of caution here.
Yeah, but nonetheless, she'd be definitely a hero of yours.
She definitely, I think
she managed to make her fridge.
She did.
Last 50 years.
Definitely. Anyone who can last as long as she lasts and then keep things that last as long as her is a hero of mine. Jim McCabe is, of course, my ultimate hero. How he's still here, I have no idea. And he's still functioning like he was brand new.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.